The biblical principle of walking by faith has always proven to be true and very accurate, especially for us here at Berean. We have purposely chosen to keep the Word of God by trusting Him to do what is His will to do in our midst. As we look back over the many years, we can see God's good hand upon us. And what this does is give us hope and determination to keep on trusting the Lord Jesus for the years that are ahead. The term faith has been bandied around for quite a while now. Even the world talks about faith as some kind of a human-driven passion for accomplishing some great goal that would bring about peace and prosperity for the whole world. Or maybe just for a particular nation in the whole world. Even in evangelical churches, we hear the phrase faith communities. Right? We've heard that for quite a number of years now, faith communities. As if every church, no matter what denomination they may be, or what doctrines they may hold, somehow is to be seen as a quote-unquote faith community. But we would tend to disagree with that designation as not in reality describing what we have. Some would equate faith with religion, but again, we would disagree with that understanding. So I thought that this morning we might consider what the Bible has to say about faith. As we consider another Bible character who walked in this faith and see what we can learn from him this morning. Now, we've spoken on faith before and over the years, but I think it's always good, again, to remind ourselves and review what, and call to remembrance the things in God's Word as it relates to our faith and our trust in Christ. First of all, and I would invite you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, we note, first of all, that the exercise of faith is what pleases Almighty God. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please him," that is God, "for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." We read through the first 16 verses of Hebrews 11. The first six really set the tone for the whole rest of the chapter, as it talks about individuals from days gone by who have lived and walked by faith in Almighty God. In fact, the whole chapter is about Bible characters of the past who have lived by faith. And the one that we want to zero in on this morning in our Bible character series is that of Enoch. Enoch, we find him in verse 5. "By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please God." And so we understand that Enoch himself walked by faith in order that he might please the God that he believed. So, Enoch, we read here, Enoch pleased God. And if he did please God, that means what he did by faith, right? Faith and trust and belief in what God had said and God himself. And that characterized his whole life. How do we know that? What did Enoch do that gave him this testimony? Well, let's go back to Genesis chapter 5 and read about this man, Enoch. In Genesis chapter 5 is the genealogy coming from Seth, the third son of Adam and Eve after they were put out of the garden. Did Adam and Eve have children in the garden? Well, that's another sermon for another day. But here in the line of Seth, we read this. Come down to verse 18, Genesis 5. Jared lived 162 years, and he begat who? Enoch. Right, he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. Can you imagine living for that length of time, having children, sons and daughters still all through those years? big families, it would seem to me, back in the days before the flood. So all the days, verse 20, all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch, he lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Do you remember Methuselah? Now, he has the distinction of being the oldest, longest living human being in the days before the flood. He lived 900 and, you remember? 969 years. So Enoch's father, he lived 962 years, but Enoch's son, Methuselah, lived even longer than that. So you might want to think that Enoch must have had a long life as well, right? Well, let's read. In verse 21, Enoch lived 65 years, he begat Methuselah, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. So he lived a short lifespan compared to his father and to his son. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. What an interesting statement that is concerning Enoch. He was not. God took him. One day he was here walking around on the earth, and then one second later, he's gone. Disappeared. I'm sure that family were calling for him that night for dinner time. Couldn't find him. Couldn't find him anywhere. He was gone. God took him. He was not, because God took him. Wonderful story concerning this man, Enoch. What we find about Enoch is that he was Adam's great, 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 great grandson. Right? He was the seventh from Adam, in fact. And when Enoch was alive, this is interesting, Adam was 622 years old when Enoch was born. And Enoch passed from the scenes of this earth when he was 365 years old, about 57 years after Adam had died. So Adam was around for most of Enoch's life. Can you imagine that? I think that Enoch lived long enough to know some big important things, don't you? Grandpa Adam must have told the grandkids about how God created the world and how their grandmother came to be. God put me to sleep, took Adam my side, and he made a woman, and he brought her to me, and she became my wife, and your great-great-great-great-great-grandmother. What an amazing miracle all of that was. Adam probably told them about the Garden of Eden, and what it was like to live there. I can't imagine he wouldn't. He surely told them about his sin of disobedience when he ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that God told him not to eat of that. And what happened by it and because of it, and how that he and Eve were put out of the garden and now had to work by the sweat of their brow just to try and survive on this sin-cursed earth. I'm sure that Adam would have told the grandkids about walking with God in the garden in the cool of the evening. How awesome that must have been. So, do you think that Enoch would have listened to Grandpa Adam with his eyes wide open in wonder? If that had been me, I sure would have been in wonder about the things that he could tell from the very beginning of this creation. Would have been an amazing experience, and I am absolutely sure it had a profound effect upon the life of Enoch, such that he had committed himself totally to walk with the Lord God Jehovah for the entirety of his own life. Must have been just awesome to hear of all the things that Adam could have told him. Now, I'm sure that Enoch took to heart about walking with God, for the most outstanding thing about Enoch was, and the thing that made him pleasing to God, was the fact that Enoch walked with God. I think that he had learned from maybe Grandpa Adam, from the rest of others of the family, about what things were like way back then. And he took it upon himself, it seems, that he too would walk with God. And we're told in Genesis 5 that Enoch had such a profound walk with God. He was pleasing to the Lord. And the fact is that Enoch did not die in the usual sense that we all think of death, but rather he was taken by God, or translated, that he should not see death, according to Hebrews 11, verse 5. So what does that mean, translated? Well, Enoch, as we said earlier, was here one moment and then gone the next. The word translated has the idea of taken away, and really captures the essence of what rapture means, where we are caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And I believe that Enoch experienced a rapture, quote-unquote rapture, probably not unlike the rapture that we as Christians will experience if we are still alive, when the Lord Jesus comes to the clouds of the air to catch up his church to be with himself. And we're told that that's going to happen this September the 23rd or the 24th, that rapture is going to happen and Christ is going to return, tribulation is going to begin. I listened finally to one guy who said, no way, because we don't know the day or the hour, and if you know the day or the hour, that's probably not going to be the day or the hour that Christ will return, because no man knows the hour. It's quite a good rebuttal to all the other stuff that's out there these days. So it seems like what Enoch experienced was a rapture, being caught up to meet the Lord in the air in glory. Enoch is verily a type, it seems to me, a type of the rapture that is given centuries beforehand, that we today might have hope and follow in the walk with God like Enoch, with the anticipation that one day we're going to get caught up to meet the Lord in the air as he was. Now, how do you think that Enoch walked with God? We know from the text that one characteristic of his walk was that it was by faith. The word faith is akin to the word belief, and the word trust. And so his faith, belief, and trust was not only in God, but it also was believing what God had said. And so he walked in that truth as well. We're told in Hebrews 11:5 that it was by faith that Enoch was translated, that he was transported from earth to heaven. Enoch was translated or taken because he walked with God, Genesis 5, verse 24. And we also learn that it is faith that is what pleases God, Hebrews 11:6. That statement, that without faith it's impossible to please God, that is universal, that is timeless, that is for all ages. That is the thing that is established as a standard for what pleases God in all ages. And therefore, what Enoch did by faith that pleased God was to walk with him. So we can say without hesitation that one thing we can do to please our Heavenly Father is walk by faith. Walk with God by faith. That means to live every moment of our lives in faith and trust and belief, believing what God has said and acting upon those things that he has said, putting it to work in our very lives, being obedient, if you want. And we mentioned that the word faith is related to the word believe because they are exactly the same Greek words in our New Testament. Now, Hebrews 11:6, if you want to turn back to there, Hebrews 11:6 says we must believe that God is. It's an interesting statement, right? He that cometh to God must believe that he is. Is what? Well, this an open-ended statement. We just need to believe that God is. That he is all that he reveals himself to be. He is all that he has said to us through his word. We must believe that he exists, right? And that he has revealed himself to his creation by his word. We must believe that he is alive, a living being who cares about his creation, especially his own children. God is. He has always been. He always will be just as he is. He is eternal. He is holy. And it is so important for us to believe rightly about who God is and what he has done and what he is yet to do according to his plans given in his word. Right? And around here, because we are Bereans and search the scriptures daily, we know the word of God and what it teaches, and we believe what God has said to us in the word. And that's why we continue to walk with him as best that we can. If you miss any truth about God, it will affect your belief, which will impact your faith and your walk, and ultimately then not please God. So to please God, we must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And I think that's what we all want, right? We want to please God by believing him and walking with him. Now, to exercise faith and belief that God is the privilege of every child of God. Enoch walked with God by faith. This means that Enoch believed on God for his righteousness, for his sanctification, for his salvation. And to be able to walk by faith means that, first of all, you are saved by faith. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says it's by grace that we are saved, not by works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God. Salvation is the gift of God given to us because of what Christ has done on the cross, death, burial, and his resurrection on the third day, and our faith and trust and belief in him. That provides for us and brings us salvation. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever," what? "Believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." So to walk by faith, first of all, means that we are saved by God's grace through faith in the Lord Jesus. And if you have trusted the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, then here this morning, then it is your privilege to walk with God by faith. Only true Bible-believing, blood-bought, born-again Christians can hope to walk with God. So the question is, how is your walk today, believer? Church family, how is our walk today? We'll be celebrating 29 years as a church family in a couple of weeks. And I don't think we have strayed from our initial statements of faith and how we want to do things that are pleasing to the Lord. But that's no guarantee that it will carry on. We must be diligent and keep on working at walking with God by faith. The other thing that we find here in Hebrews 11:6 is that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. Do you seek the Lord? There is great promise and blessing for those who would seek him. We read a few verses in Lamentations 3 that said God is pleased with those who seek after him. The word rewarder in Hebrews 11:6, he's a rewarder, is the Greek word misthapodates. Related to misthos. Remember misthos and apodidomy? rewards. God is a rewarder, a misthapodates. that is, God pays wages to those who seek him out, who investigate the revelation of God in his word. He gives a reward for that activity and the blessings that come through that. You know what Jesus said in John chapter 4 to the woman at the well? He said to her that the Father is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. The Lord God is the real seeker in all of this, not the seeker-sensitive movement that we've had back in the 70s, but God is the seeker. And so he is looking for those, seeking those who will worship him in spirit and truth. And outside of Christ, there is none that seeketh after God. But as believers, we have the wonderful privilege to seek after him. We know him by grace through faith, and it is our privilege to seek after him with our whole heart, with our whole being. To seek for all that we can know about him, to seek out all the blessings he may want to give to us, to seek him himself. What a great pursuit in life service that is. And so we ask ourselves, where is our priorities? Is the Lord Jesus Christ the center of our attention? Is what God wants the most important thing for us in our plans and decision making? I trust that he is, both personally and then corporately as a church family. To walk by faith does not mean that we are leaping into some dark unknown thing. To walk by faith is to live in light of the inspired word of the living God, who has revealed to us what we are to do and how we are to live. And so we learn that and we do that before the Lord to his honor and to his glory. So we can press ahead, even after we celebrate 29 years, we can press ahead with trust and faith that the Lord our God will indeed lead us into his pleasure and into his will, that we might be doing those things that will be pleasing in his sight. We do not want to be presumptuous in anything, but rather to be pleasing to God. And that only comes when we are walking with him in faith, just like Enoch did so very long ago. A wonderful example for us. Let me just say one more thing about Enoch. You may or may not have heard recently about a book that was discovered a number of years ago called The Book of Enoch. Have you heard about The Book of Enoch? I have a digital copy of it on my iPad here. It's really difficult reading. It's not like reading your Bible. It's something completely different. But there are some who tell us that this book was rejected by those who put the Bible together. It did not make it into the Bible canon, and they think that's a travesty, that it should be there. They claim that Enoch, Genesis 5, wrote about some things that the Bible doesn't talk about. Right away, that's a red flag that goes up for me. The book of Enoch claims to talk about the fallen angels, the Nephilim giants, the names of these fallen angels, and so on. It tells in the book of Enoch that Adam was probably a 15-foot tall man, that Noah had to be 12 feet tall. The height of Goliath, the giant, was given. We figured that out by the cubit, that he was about 9.5 feet tall. That was a giant, obviously, in those days. But they're saying if Noah was a 12-foot tall man, then the cubit would be much longer. Cubit is from your fingertip to your elbow. If he's 12 feet tall, our ceiling is 10 feet, he'd have to duck. That the distance from his fingertips to his elbow would be much longer than 18 inches, right? A cubit. And so now they're talking about redefining how much a cubit is. So they talk about all of the fallen angels. There's 200 of them, apparently. That's what the Book of Enoch says. And a whole lot of other things that are really just nonsense when you compare with what the scriptures have to say. This book wasn't rejected by those who put the Bible together. It was never even considered to be a part of God's inspired word. So the claim is that out of the book of Enoch, Jude wrote a few things in his New Testament book about Enoch in Jude 14, verses 14 to 16. Which sounds like the book of Enoch, a statement coming out of the book of Enoch. But just because Jude may have referenced Enoch, if that's even true, is not to say that he purported the book of Enoch to be understood as divine-inspired scripture from God. Apparently copies of the book of Enoch have been discovered, and they say that it was penned in the 2nd century A.D., Well, how is Jude supposed to have quoted from a book of Enoch? I think maybe the better understanding is that Jude said something about fallen angels. So whoever penned the book of Enoch in the 2nd century said, hey, let's include that in here as part of what Enoch would have said, and to codify it in that book. There's so much stuff in the air, so much deception around us today. I've only gotten through a little bit of the book of Enoch I have. It seems to me more like a book on the occult than it does divine revelation. And I believe that there's much in the book of Enoch that is spurious and false. So please don't bother with it. It's not in the Bible. Don't bother with it at all. So we'll believe what God has put together for us in the Scriptures, and let's have the faith to believe that God will do what is best for us and what will bring Him glory. And let us, like Enoch, walk with God by faith, living out our lives in obedience to His inspired word. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for opportunity to just think about this man Enoch, referenced in the Word. Not a lot said about him, but what is said about him is so significant, important, and profound. Enoch was not, because you took him. He walked by faith and really walked right into your very presence. And we thank you for recording that for us in the Scriptures, and not any other spurious ideas concerning Enoch. And we pray that you would help us in our own lives to be like Enoch, to walk by faith and trust in you, and look forward to the day when you will catch us up to meet the Lord in the air, and thus will we ever be with the Lord. I pray that these few thoughts on Enoch today will be helpful and encouraging for each of us, and that you would help us to walk with you by faith every moment of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.